In fact, I want to ask you, if you would, to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's an honor this morning to have one of my high school teachers sitting in this audience with me today. If you'd ask her back then if I would be doing what I'm doing now, honest to goodness, I don't know what her response would be. But anyway, it is good to see Miss Daphne Hughes and her family here this morning. It's an honor to have you guys with us. It really is. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this is where we looked at last week, and this is, I'm not going to preach out of this again per se today, other than to say this, is use this as a springboard, if you will, into something else that God's laid on my heart. Here for the last month and a half, the sermons that I've preached have been just God-led, and me just sharing with you what God's laid on my heart. And this morning is no difference. I had an entire sermon already prepared, ready to go, on why or how authentic disciples should praise the Lord. Because as of last week, in what we experienced, we should praise the Lord. We should praise God every day. In fact, in the Word of God, that is a direct commandment of God, is to praise the Lord. All disciples, all believers, we're to do that. Okay? And what's unique about that is the word praise in the Hebrew actually means open hand or lifted hand. Okay? To give you some idea of where we were headed in that direction there. But I'm not going to preach that. This morning, as I was getting ready, I told Lynn this morning we were getting ready. I said, well, here we go again. I said, God seems to be changing the message that He's put on my heart. And I just feel led to preach something different. And that's this. And let's just look at here at 2 Chronicles 20. I want to share some things with you out of this. Give you just a synopsis of what this text or passage is saying. You remember that here in the beginning of this, we read about Moab and the sons of Ammon and the Midianites. They were on their way to make war against King Jehoshaphat. Now, you remember these people, they were the only ones that the children of Israel did not destroy whenever they entered into the Promised Land. They were the only ones. And now they had turned around and now they were about to try to destroy the ones that did not destroy them. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Seems like a present day thing. Once you do something good for somebody, they turn against you and try to do something bad against you. Well, the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was fearful. And he knew what was coming. All these armies was marching against him, and the Bible says that he was afraid. But in the same sentence, the Bible also turns around and tells us this, that he called for a fast and a time of prayer of the children of Israel, which they did. Then he began to preach a sermon, if you will. And after that sermon, there's an individual who stands up in the crowd. Could be any one of you this morning. Stands up in the crowd and begins to address not only King Jehoshaphat, but the entire congregation. And he utters the words, some of the most famous words when it comes to us being in battle as ourselves, as believers. And it's there found in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This individual stands up. Now verse 14 tells us who he is. Then verse 15 tells us what he said to them. He said this, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And I don't know about you, but I needed to hear that last Sunday. I needed to hear that. And I don't know, there may be somebody sitting in here this morning, you needed to hear that too. Maybe you wasn't here this last Sunday, but you needed to hear that. The fight's not yours. It's God's. What God revealed to me this morning, friends, is this. There may be somebody sitting in this room right here this morning, right now. Friend, you don't even know you're in a fight. You think this is the way life ought to be. You think that what's going on in your life right now is normal. That this thing that you're walking through right now is, you know, it's just the way it is. Can I share this with you today? God don't want you to live in a life of turmoil and chaos. It's just like I shared with y'all last Sunday. For the last few weeks, and we hadn't stopped this week, with my son, we were confessing in here last Sunday. And I'm here to tell you, I'm confessing to you today, God's doing a great work in my son's life. And I praise the Lord for that. But I keep telling him every day, as a man thinks, so is he. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and might. And you know what? Me and my son and my family, we've come to the conclusion we in a battle. My mother-in-law, who's been with us, she'll be back here this afternoon. I praise God. I love it. I love my mother-in-law. Now, I tell you what, some I've heard husbands make fun of their mother-in-laws. I'm here to tell you, I love my mother-in-law. I can't wait till she gets back. She's like me. She loves to drink coffee. And that's a good thing because she's on her way back. She'll be back here this afternoon. The only reason she isn't here right now is because she had to teach her Sunday school class this morning. I love my mother-in-law. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because I'm standing before you, but I do. I love her. But you know what? She called me the other day and she said, Mike. I said, yes, ma'am. And when the phone rang and I saw it was hers, first thing through my mind, I was like, oh, no. The first thing out of her mouth was, Mike, I tell you what we did today, talking about her and Stuart. She said, we put an arrow right in Satan. I said, yes. I told her, I said, well, honey, we're going to empty the quiver before it's all over with. I tell you what, I just praise God about that. But you know what? We've come to the realization in my house that we are in a spiritual fight. We're in a spiritual battle. But I don't know why God's leading me to say this. But there may be some of you sitting right in here this morning, you don't even know you're in a fight right now. You haven't even come to the realization that I'm in a spiritual battle. I'm in a fight of my life. You may just think this is the way life ought to be. It's not, friends. It's not. You know, I'm supposed to live in fear like this the rest of my life. No, you're not. The Bible says God hadn't given you a spirit of fear. God's given you one of power and of might. And I'm here to tell you today, today is the day for you to be set free in this place. Right now is your time to be set free because I want to share some things with you today. Today, the battle, number one, the battle is not yours, it's God. Now, it does not say you're not going to have a battle in your life. It does not say that. In fact, I'm fixing to share some scripture with you and I want you to write them down. And I want you to make note of them for further reading or later reading. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm about to show you some things in the Word of God that promises you and I as disciples, as authentic disciples, that we're going to be in the fight of our life. It's coming. You may say, well, I'm not one of those. I'm one of the ones you told us in here last week, Brother Mike, to be singing praises to God as the elders here were praying for those that were up here up front. I was one of those ones. Well, praise the Lord for you right now. And I applaud you. I really do. But I'm here to share this with you today. Your day is coming. The fight is coming in your life. It will arrive. And as pastor of this church, I feel as if it is my job and it is my requirement and responsibility to equip you to be ready when that fight does arrive. Okay? All right. So this tape, you want to write these things down now. First thing I want you to do is take your Bibles and take and look at Luke chapter 22. We're trying to see now, are we really in a battle today? If we're not, praise God. But if we are, we want to be equipped and we want to be ready when that fight comes, okay, or the battle. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and let's see here, verse 31. Yes. I told y'all Wednesday night about these journals. I encourage you to go out and get you one here, especially on Wednesday night. We the little black books, you filled them out. You get the prayer request. We as the staff, ministerial staff, we get those on Mondays. I put mine in here. This is my weekly journal. I kind of fibbed to y'all. I apologize. I went back and checked the price at Dollar General. They're not a dollar. They're $3. So if you want to get one, these are really good to have. In fact, I have the sermon that God laid on my heart written out here that He gave to me this morning. I want to share with you. You've heard you're going to say, well, wait a minute, preacher. We've heard these sermons, we've heard these verses before, but I'm praying that today God will give you fresh eyes and a fresh look at these scriptures to really really lay over your life and ask yourself, am I involved? Am I in this? Is my family involved in this such? Okay? Here in chapter 22 of the Gospel of Luke, verse 31, if you're there, say amen. The Bible says, Jesus is talking to Simon or Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. That starts back here in the back of this choir and reaches through all this. The pulpit reaches through every chair that's here on the floor and goes all the way up in there into the crow's nest where the guys are running the sound and the video. Satan has his sights on you today to sift you like wheat. Can I share this with you today? Listen to me. He has his sights on you and your spouse to sift your marriage like wheat. He would love for nothing else than you and your spouse to be at one another's throats, at one another's, be at one another, at odds with one another every moment of every day. He has his sights on you to do just that. Not only that, as parents, He has put His sights on us as parents to let our children do whatever they want, roam free, do whatever they want to do. It's easier to let them do what they want to do than stand up and be the parent that what God's Word says to set boundaries and restrictions in their life. It's a whole lot easier to do that. Satan has said, I have set my sights on you as a parent to take the easy route rather than the hard route in raising up a child in the way he or she ought to go. Amen. He has set his sights on us to sift us as wheat. He has set his sights on you, young people, children, to disobey your parents, to turn your back on them, to turn a deaf ear to their instruction of how they're trying to raise you in a godly home. He has placed it in your heart and mind that your mother and your father are literally out of their mind. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what to do. They don't know what it is to live in the 21st century as a young person or as a child. Mom and daddy, they just don't get it. I thought the same thing with my mom and dad. I thought Wayne Grimes, I was surprised. I shared this with y'all before. I was surprised as a teenager that my daddy got out of the bed every day. I didn't know how, nor he really didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what it was to be hip like me in the 1980s. Shoot, man, I live in the big town of Phoenix City, Alabama. My daddy's from Jack, Alabama. What does he know? If you don't know where Jack is, that's a suburb of Elba. You'll get that. Get a map and you'll see what I'm talking about. But you know what? Then he sets his eyes on you as an individual today. Gentlemen, he sets his eyes on you when you are by yourself on that computer. He sets his eyes on you as you are viewing that computer and the temptation is there to look at some of the most graphic things you have ever seen in your life. He has set his eyes on you to sift you as wheat. Ladies, he has set his eyes on you to be very flirtatious with the person at work or the person you run across with at the grocery store or wherever you may be. He has set His eyes on you to sift you as wheat. And I don't know who you are in this room this morning. Listen to me. Honest to goodness, I don't. I'm just following God's lead. But I'm here to tell you, somewhere in this room, somewhere today, Satan is sifting somebody right now. The statistics prove it. The statistics prove it. The odds are that there is somebody sitting, a man sitting in this room right here today, this past week. This is statistically that there is a man sitting in this room right here this morning who has viewed pornography on the internet in the last 7 days. I don't know who you are, but Satan is here to sift you like wheat. He told Peter years, thousands of years ago, Peter, He has set His sights on you to sift you as wheat. And guys, listen to me. That has not changed into the 21st century. It is as real today as it was the day Jesus uttered it to Simon. But you know what? There's more about this battle here. The Bible goes on and tells us, look over in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Look there with me. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Jesus really knew how to talk to those who were against Him. He really knew how to love them. I'm being kind of sarcastic here. But Satan looks at these people in opposition to Him in John chapter 8, verse 44. Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 44. And I want you to write these down now because I want you to go back and look at these later, okay? Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you is what this means to you individually in your life. I'm preaching this from the standpoint of 300 people, okay? I'm preaching it with the shotgun effect. I want you to go home, get in the Word of God, and allow the Word of God to speak to you and put the rifle shot on it, okay? All right? Now, he says here, listen to this, you are of your father the devil. Well, that bless your heart, won't it? You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Can I just share this with you today? Listen to me. First and foremost, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to be graphic or anything like this. Satan would love for nothing else than for every authentic disciple in this room here today to be dead. That's what that says. The Bible says that he is a murderer. He kills folks. Why? Because they stand for what is right. The Bible goes on and tells us this. He tells us that he is a liar and the father of lies. He is going to lie to us today. He is going to lie to us that there's absolutely nothing wrong with viewing all that stuff on the internet. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Why does it matter? I tell you why it matters. Because it is ruining your life. It is ruining your life, which will filter out, if you're married and have children this morning, it will filter out into the life of your family, and it will destroy that. Oh, they ain't nothing wrong with having a little drink here and there. Go ahead and have that. It's okay to be a social drinker. You know, the Bible says Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. I'm not trying to be funny here. I know it sounds funny, but you can't be sick every day of your life. Why do you think we hear about it day after day after day? We read in the paper, hear on the news of another life lost due to this. And here in this country, we are actually contemplating, in some places already done, legalizing a substance that has caused the death of thousands. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He's going to tell you anything to take your life any way he can do it. The gospel right here of John tells us such in chapter 8, verse 44. You are in the fight of your life today. If you are a believer sitting in this room here today, you are in the fight of your life right now. And he is going to do everything he can to destroy you. Do you see the battle yet? Has God, through His Spirit, revealed to you right now in your life what that battle is in your life right now? Well, look a little further with me here in the Word of God. This is also a very familiar passage of Scripture to us. Look at 1 Peter for just a moment. Turn back to 1 Peter. Well, I know it's here. There we go. 1 Peter, chapter 5. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard translation of the Word of God. Yours may be a little bit different. You may have NIV, King James, New King James. You may have English Standard Version. The list goes on and on. But the point is there. The meaning is there, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, if you're there, say amen. All right? The Bible says this, be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Some translations read this way. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, like a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. In my ordination council, when I became a minister, Mr. Cook looked at me in the face and he said these words. He read that verse of Scripture. I can't remember what anything anybody else said except what Mr. Cook said. And there was about 25 men in my ordination council that day. He looked at me and he read that verse of Scripture and he looked at me and he said, Mike, listen to me. The only time a lion roars is when he's scared. Now, listen, I love my brother to death. I do. But I've learned this about Satan. Satan roars a lot more than just when he is scared. He roars all the time. And I'm here to tell you today, listen to me, he is roaring in somebody's life here today, and he is devouring your life moment by moment. And my mission, whenever I set out preaching this sermon here today, is this. It's for somebody in this room to realize that they're in the battle of their life right now. Satan would love for nothing else than you today, according to Scripture. He would love for nothing else than you today to be dead right now. And he is going to tell you every lie he can tell you. He is going to lead you in every direction he can to destroy you and destroy your family, destroy your life. He's going to do everything he can to destroy this church. Friends, be ready. Authentic disciples, be ready. I guarantee you that the way this church has been acting and the things we have been doing in the last month and a half, I guarantee you that the attack of Satan is coming in the life of this church. It is coming. The last time I said that, it happened, and I know it's going to happen again. But listen to this today, standing before you as your pastor. I realize today that I am serving someone that is greater than Satan. I am serving someone who is greater than that roaring lion. I am serving somebody that today can snap his fingers and drop him dead just like that. I am serving somebody today that lives inside of me that is greater than he who lives in this world today. I have somebody inside of me today that can give me the power to overcome anything this life may throw at me. I have the power inside of me today to have and stand firm on his word. No matter what Satan throws my way, I can be victorious, and so can you today. But that still does not remove us from the battle. The battle is still here. It's still raging today. Take your Bibles and turn again with me. I'll flip back to Ephesians chapter 6. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6 for just a moment, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Because see, this is where we get caught up and this is where we miss the mark. For the longest time, I thought the battle in our lives was physical. Everybody with me? We may think that the battle we have today, the fight we're in today, is a physical one. What does that mean? That means this. That means that we think that there is somebody possibly, I'm just using this as a hypothetical scenario, that there is somebody inside this room right here today who's out to get us. They have either said something or done something that has rubbed us the wrong way, has ruffled our feathers, has made the fur fly, or however you want to phrase it, that there's somebody in this room that's happened with. Can I share this with you today? That is a lie from Satan himself. Because if that is the fact, then the Word contradicts itself, and God, the Bible says, cannot lie today. According to this scripture, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus here in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. If you don't write down any other verse, write this one down. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That means another human being. Now, we may think it is. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. I love that. The battle today is not a physical one. It is not me against you and you against me. It is Satan against God. It is good versus evil today. If we think the battle is among ourselves, we've missed it. It is only us allowing Satan to use us. It is only Satan using those who say they stand firm on the Word of God, but yet and still there is a weakness somewhere in their armor. There is a hole in their shield. Satan has found that, and now he is exploiting that. And 9 times out of 10, that's what happens in churches, and when churches just explode and disintegrate. It's normally when one person forgets that the battle they're in is not a physical one, it is a spiritual one. They think, well, oh, so-and-so said something, he or she did something that made me mad, and doggone it, I'm going to get them today. And whatever you're dealing with today, the thing that me and my family was dealing with was fear. But I, honest to goodness, I thought it was physical. But it took me a while. I'm a Grimes. I'm hard-headed. To finally realize that this battle is not a physical one. It is a spiritual one. Satan is doing everything he can to destroy the Grimes family. And as the spiritual leader of my household, I said, enough is enough. And today, we're going to fight. Now, we ain't going to get out in the front yard and have a fist fight. Because the battle is not with us. The battle is against Satan today. Do you see the battle in your life yet? Do you see it there? The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities and things of dark places. And I'm here to tell you today, we are going to be victorious. Why? The Word of God says that. Well, now, what do we do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Take your Bibles now. You want to write these down. This is what we do. Look at Luke chapter 10 right quick. Luke chapter 10. What do we do? Well, you've told us we're in a battle. I realize I'm in the battle, Brother Mike. Now, what do I do now? Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. What do I do? What do I stand on? You stand on the Word of God. Here it is. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible tells us this, behold, Jesus speaking now. Jesus speaking to disciples, speaking to the disciples in this room. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over, listen to this, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. I have given you power over the enemy. He is not stronger than you. You are stronger than Him through Christ Jesus this morning. You can have that victory today. Look with me now at Philippians. Flip to Philippians chapter 2. Flip over to Philippians chapter 2. You want to write this one down. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Now the Word of God tells us this, therefore also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you know, when we read that verse, we've heard that verse quoted, I don't know, hundreds of times. And we often think, I do in my life anyway, I think of the end of time, when the time is going to come that every knee that has to yet say that Jesus is Lord and Savior, the day will come, doggone it, when they will get on their knees and they'll say, yes, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. But listen, today, right now, He has given, the Bible says, God has given him a name to be exalted, a name that is above every other name. And at the very usage of that name, every knee will bow and every tongue then will confess. That, what does that mean? What is that going to do for me in this battle I'm in, preacher boy? This is what it's going to do, this battle you're in right now. Every time that you realize, and you realize you're in this fight, that you begin to say, in the name of Jesus, today. In the name of Jesus, today. And I'm here to tell you today, listen to me. Whenever you start uttering the name of Jesus, they are demons in hell that begin to quiver. Why? Because it is the name that is above every other name. Use that name. And finally, look at James chapter 4 with me. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Now the Word of God tells us this. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that the devil will flee from me. Resist him and he will flee from me. If you resist him in your own power, that joker ain't going nowhere. You think you big bad boy? Come on, I'll show you what I got, Satan will say. And I will sift you like wheat. I will devour you like a lion. I will literally take your life if you stand within your own power. But in James chapter 4 and verse 7, do you know what the key to that verse is? It has absolutely nothing to do with resisting the devil. It has everything with submitting yourself to God. Now that word submit means you turn it all over. Everything to God to win that battle. This morning my prayer has been, before we started this service this morning, my prayer has been, God, if there is somebody here today that does not realize they're in a battle, that God, they would see they were in that battle. And today, God, before they leave this room, equip them with something that, God, they're able to win the battle that they have just realized they are in. I close with this story. I'd be willing to say again, if I started right here in the back of this room, go all the way up here to the crow's nest where the guys are running the video and the sound, or the sound and the video. I'd be willing to say that if not every one of us, a majority of us, have at least one gun in our house. Some of us have enough that we could hold off a small army for quite some time. Okay? We really could. I mean, we could probably do it at my house. All right? And you know why we have those guns? We have those guns to hunt, yes, and of course, things such as that. But I guarantee you, if in this room you're a gun owner, that you have bought one of those guns somewhere along your life and you have said, I am buying this to protect my family. That if I don't ever want, I don't want to ever have to do this, but if I do, I will use it to protect my family. I know I've said that. And I would. I pray to God that day never comes though. I really do. But I'm here to tell you today, friends, listen to me. We're talking about a battle today and a protection today that a gun can't win. I don't care how many guns, how many bullets you got today. You can't win this one with a gun. You can't win this one with a knife. You can't win this one with a physical fist fight. You can't do it. You will lose it. The Bible tells us today that if we will submit to God, then today we will win. And now this is what I'm going to ask you to do in this invitation time. First of all, I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And now this is the invitation to you. Wherever you're at in this room, you may be in the very back row of this choir. You may be in the crow's nest this morning. I don't know. And you've realized that today you are in this battle. You have realized that today you are in the fight of your life. Ain't something a preacher said. It's what the Spirit of God has revealed to you. Now this is what I want you to do wherever you're at right now. You ain't got to wait till we start singing. I want you to stand up right now wherever you're at. And I want you to make your way to this altar right here. There's already a minister down front. Be more than happy to pray with you. He'd be more than happy and honored to pray with you and counsel with you about whatever's going on in your life. This is what I want you to do. I want you to come on right now. There's people moving right now. Maybe you need to be those people too. Come on. You say, well, preacher, physically, I can't get on my knees here in the front of the altar. That's fine. Come right here and get on one of these chairs right here and say, today I'm in this fight. I'm in this battle. And today I am submitting to God today. I am submitting it all to God today so that we may be able to win this battle today. Wherever you're at, come on. There's people here at the altar right now praying. Maybe you need to be that person. Maybe you're one of those ones that raised your hand earlier. You raised your hand and you said, hey, I'm that person. I'm in that fight right now. Wherever you're at, come on, right now. As others are down here praying right now, maybe you need to be that one. Today, the fight of my life, I'm in it right now, preacher. We're facing things and going through things that God, I never would have dreamed would have ever arise in my life. But today, they're here. I need help. The only help that I can get today is God. I realize that through His Word today. I realize what's been said here in this place today, that it is only God who can help me. Submit yourself to Him this morning. Submit yourself to Him, and the Word says that the devil will flee. But it is you submitting yourself 100% this morning. You come right now, wherever you're at. Come on. Whether you're in the back, whether you're right here in the front, wherever, come on. You need a minister to pray with you. We have one right down front right here. Would love to pray with you. If you would like for me to pray with you, I would love to pray with you. Wherever you're at, you come on right now and just say, today, I turn it over to Him. I give it all to God today. I submit it all to You today, God. I need this victory in my life today. Come on.